You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. With the June 2nd primary just over 2 weeks away, mail-in voting well underway, the governor's race has dominated election coverage. But there are other statewide contests on the ballot. Today, we're going to dive into the race for state superintendent of public instruction, currently held by Tony Thurmond, who is terming out and running for governor. The position is considered the top K-12 schools job in California, overseeing nearly 6 million students across 10,000 public schools. But it comes with limited authority. And whoever succeeds State Superintendent Thurmond may be walking into a different position now that a bill is making its way through the state capitol that would strip the position of most of its duties and fold the Department of Education into the governor's office. Carolyn Jones is a K-12 education reporter with CalMatters, a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. And she joins us with more about the race. Welcome.
Thank you.
So how important is the state superintendent to public schools in California?
Well, that remains to be seen, depending on what happens with the bill that's currently in the legislature and also the governor's proposal to kind of scale back the job duties of the superintendent. Historically, California has had this very strange way of governing schools. I think hardly any other states do it like we do. We have about, well, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. There's the governor who appoints the State Board of Education. There's the state superintendent. There's the state board itself. There's the legislature. California has local control, so school boards have quite a bit of authority. So that's the situation. And so it's kind of hard to say exactly how much power or sway the state superintendent would have in any case.
Well, it is an elected position. What is the voter appetite for this race, for this year's state superintendent?
Well, not a lot. In years past, it's actually been a pretty, well-watched, hot race. I think, when charter schools were sort of coming about, this race attracted a lot of attention. This race we're in now, I think in the most recent poll, 32% of voters were undecided, which is a big number.
So what changed if it's been like a closely watched race in the past?
Well, a couple things. Experts who look at this stuff closely say that, for one thing, people are probably more focused on the governor's race right now, which is very contentious. And people who follow education closely are looking more closely at what's happening in Washington, D.C. as the Trump administration dismantles the Department of Education. So it's, and also, there's a lot of uncertainty about what this state superintendent job is even going to look like come this fall. So that's, and also charter schools are not the big deal that they used to be. In years past, particularly 2018, 2014, charter schools were a very big deal in the superintendent's race, and candidates were viewed to either be, pro-charter or anti-charter, and lots of money from both sides poured into the race. But right now, charter schools don't seem to be such a big deal. That's probably because of declining enrollment. Charter growth has kind of plateaued at about 10% of the overall student enrollment is in charters, and it hasn't changed much. And also, there's a realization that charter schools, as well as traditional public schools, all kind of deal with the same issues. So I think that those are some of the factors playing into that.
I was looking at the CalMatters 2026 voter guide ahead of this conversation. There are 8 leading candidates for state superintendent of public instruction. Is there a front runner or two?
I think there's probably several front runners. according to the most recent poll, it's pretty much, an 8-to-10 way tie. I don't think any candidate was getting more than 10%. Yeah, there's a few candidates that have managed to get a little bit more traction. The teachers union has endorsed Richard Barrera, who's a San Diego Unified School Board member. The other leading candidates are Josh Newman, who was formerly head of the State Senate Education Committee, Al Muritsuchi, who was former head, a current assembly member and former head of the Assembly Education Committee, Anthony Rendon, who is a former speaker, Nichelle Henderson, who is an L.A. County Community College District board member. And then there's several other candidates as well.
So the race is nonpartisan, but do the candidates differ on political ideologies? Are there some who are more progressive, others skew to the right?
I mean, most of them agree on the big issues, which are, getting test scores up, improving student engagement post-COVID, teacher shortages, addressing declining enrollment. They all kind of agree on that. There are two kind of right-leaning candidates. One of them is Sonia Shaw, who has made headlines in the past for her positions on issues related to transgender students. She's a school board member from Chino Valley. And that's kind of, her big issue, and that's something she's really campaigning heavily on. But she's getting a lot of traction. She's got, she's pretty much, she's in the race. So some observers say, it's possible that the other votes will be split among the other candidates, and she could surge ahead. So
Given that this is an 8-to-10 way tie, that makes it a very difficult decision for voters. And when you were just describing some of the candidates, like they all have a lot of experience in education or at the state capitol. So it seems like they have the experience to do this job. I mean, in terms of the caliber of candidates, is it a strong caliber for this race?
oh, yeah, absolutely. And several people have said that. We're very lucky. We have a lot of really great, experienced candidates running who are very experienced in not only education, but kind of the ins and outs of Sacramento and how to get things done, how to work with the legislature, how to work with the governor's office. I think one thing I've heard, one reason why, the candidates haven't really come out against each other too much. There hasn't been much negative campaigning, and it's because there's kind of an understanding that whoever wins, they're all going to have to work together at some point. So no one's really anxious to make enemies right now.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Carolyn Jones, a K-12 education reporter for CalMatters, about the race for state superintendent of public instruction. Okay, so let's get to what might come with this new position if this bill becomes law. So whoever's elected, they may be taking on a different position. Just remind us of this push to move the California Department of Education under the governor's office.
Sure. Back in January, the governor proposed kind of completely changing the way schools are governed. And what he suggested was that the state superintendent just serve more as a policy advocate, and that the real decision making would be at the state board of education level. And the state board of education is 11 members appointed by the governor. So this means that more power, a lot more power, would be in the governor's office. And so, I mean, that's one thing I've heard people say too, is that right now the governor's race is probably going to have more impact on California schools than the state superintendent race. And then there's a bill out there now that would kind of, kind of tweak the governor's proposal a little bit by having some of those state board of ed members be appointed by the legislature. So we'll see how that pans out. I imagine they'll come up with some kind of compromise.
I remember reporting also in CalMatters that the current superintendent, Thurmond, he was caught off guard by this announcement from Governor Newsom. Has there been pushback to this legislation?
Well, yes, there has been. Certainly from the people who are running from states for state superintendent. Yeah, I think that they would like to see that job have a little bit more power and a little bit more say over, how education policy is, goes down in California. So yes, they have been against it.
Would this still be an elected position moving forward?
Yes, it would still be elected. To make it not elected, to make it appointed, would require a vote from the public. It would be changing the state constitution. So that is likely not going to happen. But, many other states do it that way. We're only among a handful of states that elects the state superintendent.
Finally, Carolyn, I mean, is it likely this bill will pass the legislature and be signed into law? Like, what does the effort stand now?
I see a lot of momentum behind this. I think people would like to see some changes. I mean, obviously the legislature would like to see more, they would like to have more of a hand in who sits on the state board. And so I don't see a lot of people opposed to it. There's been a lot of reports and a lot of research done saying that, the way the system as it is now is not very efficient. There's a lot of duplicated efforts and a lot of confusion about who's accountable for what and whose job is it to do what. And so therefore there's not a lot of transparency or accountability, and that does seem to be kind of universally agreed on at this point. So my guess is, if I were to look in my crystal ball, I would say yes, this is going to move forward in some way, shape, or form.
Carolyn, as always, thanks for joining us.
Sure, pleasure to be here.
Carolyn Jones is a K-12 education reporter for CalMatters. We've been talking about the race for state superintendent of public instruction. Still ahead, coming soon to a television near you. The Host is a new TV show pilot starring real Sacramento comedians. We'll talk to the creators ahead of a screening and a show at the Sophia. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.